And amen again.
Amen.
We are delighted that God has brought us to this place safely. We have come together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Come to worship Him according to His instructions in the book that He has given us called the Bible. Bless man to write his truth in the book called the Bible. And if we follow the book, we can guarantee that heaven will be our home of abode. Now, I know I won't get to all of this lesson this morning. Well, I don't think so. If I try to do that, never mind. But I don't think so. But today is the first day of this week. It's called Sunday. Some places it's called the Lord's Day. But that's every day is the Lord's Day. And we are so delighted that He has allowed us to be on this side of the calendar, alive and in worship, worshiping Him because He came, bled and died for us. If you're visiting with us, we want to thank you for coming, visiting with us. We hope, pray, and trust that you understand what we do, how we do, and why we do what we do, the way we do it. We have come together to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, to do that, to worship God that way, in spirit and in truth, we must study the Bible to know how God wants to be worshipped. Jesus, the only Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, came down to earth, lived and died for us. But before He died, He chose 12 men to teach, to train, to carry His message, and live accordingly to be an example for others. 12 apostles. Jesus spoke with them for the last time in Acts chapter 1. And He says, well, let's go and read it. Acts chapter 1, a few verses there. In the book of Acts, chapter 1. It's there. Just hold on. In Acts chapter 1. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, members and visitors, countless millions of people go somewhere to worship on Sunday. Countless millions of people apparently, all of them don't study the book called the Bible. Jesus, even though He taught 12 men for 3 years to carry His message. We know that one betrayed Him and and when we read Acts chapter 1, another was chosen to take His place and to carry Jesus' message. And we are in Acts, I ask you to come to Acts chapter 1. Let's read a few verses here, if you would, please. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles. He gave commandments unto the apostles whom he has chosen, the 12, to whom also he showed himself alive after his death, burial, and resurrection, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being now, watch this, this is his last conversation with the apostles. After this conversation, after he says what he says, he departs. And being assembled together with them, his apostles, commanded them, his apostles, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've heard of me. I told you what was coming. You're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. For John dearly baptized, truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized. Is that in your Bible? You shall be baptized with what? You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now or not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Jesus said unto them, it is not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Listen to verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall, after that, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And after that, Jesus, when he had spoken these things, while they yet looked upon him or beheld, he was taken up. That must have been some scene to see. And a cloud received him out of their sight. But they're going to go to Jerusalem, even though he has trained them for 3 years. Don't go preaching anywhere until you're baptized with the Holy Ghost. Go to Jerusalem and wait. And as you continue to read in Acts, that's exactly what they did. They went to Jerusalem upstairs in a house there where there were others. When we read Acts chapter 1, it shares with us many things, and among the many things that share there, they were baptized with the Holy Ghost to bring to their remembrance everything that Jesus had taught them, so that when they carry his message, they would carry it accurately. Accurately. No ifs and guessing. Let me read, well, since we're in the book of Acts, let's turn one, go to the next chapter, chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they, talking about his apostles, and there were some others who had joined them, they were all with one accord, and they were all, and let's start again. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the words. The Spirit gave them the utterance. The apostles are now preaching for the first time on planet Earth the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They continued to speak to this motley crowd that had gathered, and it was thousands in Jerusalem because they were celebrating a holiday. They were there, and they heard this message. And when we get to verse 36, therefore, Peter becomes the chief speaker in verse 15. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were what? Pricked in their hearts. They were shocked. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They realized that they had done the wrong thing. They were going the wrong way. Now, what shall we do? There's a message there. There's a message there. When it comes to matters religious, know the path to take. Know what the Lord wants you to do. Know what church the apostles establish. Because Jesus told them, don't go anywhere preaching until you are baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we see that they are baptized in Acts chapter 1 for the first time. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, that motley crowd. That same Jesus that you are crucified. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus both Lord and Christ. They are shocked. What do we need to do? What do we need to do? Now what are countless numbers of preachers telling people when they have no realize that they're sinners and they want to change their life, give their life to Jesus Christ? Countless numbers of preachers are telling people to pray that you might be saved. Let's see if the apostles, if the Holy Spirit told the apostles to tell the people to pray that they might be saved. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He never mentions prayer. To be saved. You still here? You still on the line? You haven't gone to sleep, have you? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. When you do what the Lord says, do. That's a call from God. When you do what you think you ought to do, that's a call from you. And with many other words that he testified and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this wicked generation or your untoward generation. Then they, not everybody, but the they that gladly received his word were baptized. Didn't say they got angry. They got upset. They gladly received his word and were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls preaching the gospel. That's what the apostles were doing, preaching the gospel. And about 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Isn't that wonderful? Not a church here, and a church there, here, church there, church. This kind of church, that kind of church, that kind of church. The Holy Spirit teaches one gospel. And when individuals hear that gospel, believe that gospel, receive that gospel, and obey that gospel, they are added to one church. What happened on Pentecost is the same thing that happens today. When individuals hear the word of God preached the way it's in the Bible, they are never told to pray that God might save you. Sinners have no audience with God. For God heareth not a sinner's prayer. Verse 44. And all that believe were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. This is because it was a holiday. The people come from different places of the world and had not stayed planned. Left home. When they left home, they didn't know about this. But when they heard the gospel, many of them didn't leave right now, as you can see, as you read. But all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued steadfastly, and they continued daily, rather, with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord did what? You say you can't join the Church of Christ. Can't join the Church of Christ. You obey the gospel and you are added to the Church of Christ by God. Praising God, verse 47 again. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Praise to God's unchanging hand. We have just read the Bible. Wisdom says, obey the Bible. When you hear, believe the Bible, obey it. I don't know. You don't know when you're going to leave this world. You've heard the word, believe it, receive it. The Lord's church was established in the city of Jerusalem through the preaching of the apostles. The same church that was established in Jerusalem has been established at this address, the Church of Christ. Churches of Christ salute you with a holy kiss. Now for my second sermon. Faith makes the difference. It'll be timely. Faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as the present and the invisible as the seen, bringing the future into the present, Hebrews chapter 11 and 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Faith is proof of things not seen and the evidence that they exist. God gave witness to a group of people in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. He gave witness to their faith. Faith in God is the inward conviction from God that what he has promised, he will perform. He will keep his word. We can count on God. Because today is only yesterday's tomorrow. You might get that after a while. True Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of situations, in spite of circumstances, in spite of consequences. This faith operates quite simply in God. God speaks, we hear his word, and we obey it. We hear it, we believe it, we obey it. Well, I got to check out. Check out what? If you read it in God's word, what are you going to check? What are you going to check out? You can't go back and see Jesus dying on the cross. That happened thousands of years ago. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. God has manifested a love that's beyond human compassion, almost. God sent his only begotten Son to earth for 33 long years to be handled by creatures that he had created. All because of his love. What does that tell us? That tells us, when we read the Bible, God has sent us a gift that only he could give us. What does it tell us? You say, you just told us. What else can it tell us? It tells every human being, you can give God a gift that only you can give him. And that's obedience to his call. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. You say, well, preacher, we see a church here and a church there. Is it in the Bible? Is it in the Bible? Is it the one that the apostles preached by the power of the Holy Spirit? Is that the one that God established? Is that a church of Christ? That's according to the Bible. Because you see, when you read Revelation chapter 20, at your pleasure, it talks about the end time of humanity on planet Earth. He lets us know that there's going to be a judgment day. It also shares with us that there's going to be a record book of every human being that has ever lived at the judgment. And that each individual is going to be judged out of what's written in their book. And it has to agree with his book. Is that clear? Okay, we're going to sleep now. That's up to you. God gave witness to the faith that we read about in the book of Acts chapter 2. The Bible faith is confident obedience, again, to the words spoken by the God of heaven who created everything. According to Acts, Genesis chapter 1. The Bible faith, again, is confident obedience to God's word in spite of anything else. We trust his word. We act upon his word. No matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the consequences are. You say, well, preacher, I'm going to have to think about what you talk about because I never heard no other thing. Well, apparently you haven't been reading your Bible because I'm not reading anything. I mean, I'm telling you anything that you can't read in this book called the Bible. From your perspective, the circumstances may be impossible. The consequences may be frightening. But be that as it may, we obey God's word regardless. Because he's going to be our final judge. And it is he that will say, well done, good and faithful servant, if we have obeyed him. Believe in him. Do what he says. And you'll always be right. Faith enables, you see, our faith enables us to see many times what others say they can't see. As a result, they don't obey the gospel. People laughed at these great men and women of God's book, the Bible. But God was with them. God enabled them to succeed in his glory. And so it is with us. When we obey what God has written in his book, we please him. Hebrews 11 is devoted to a summary of the lives of the laborers of great men and great women of faith found in the Old Testament. At each instance, you will find the same elements of faith, God spoken, faith, they obeyed. God was well pleased. Faith is only as good as its object. And the object of our faith, are you ready? The object of our faith is three letters. Starts with a G, O, and D. It is not a feeling you feel when you're about to feel a feeling you never felt before. It is about our total response to what God has revealed in His Word. Three words in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Summarize what true Bible faith is. Substance, evidence, and witness. Substance, evidence, and witness. The word translated substance means literally to stand under, to support. Faith to a Christian is what a foundation is to a house. It gives confidence and assurance that he will stand. So faith is the confidence of things hoped for. So then, when a believer has faith in God, it is God's way of giving him or her confidence. God's way of giving her or him assurance that what is promised will be, not maybe, will be performed. The presence of God-given faith in one's heart is convincing. It's also conviction enough that God will keep His word. Faith makes the difference. Now, I've already used up my first 10 minutes. Where are you today? Think about it. We want to live forever. Well and happily. In order to do that, God must be pleased. Or you can live without pleasing God on earth. But that's as far as it goes. You can live in eternity after God rolls up the place called earth. But the question is, where will I live? And there are only two destinations. And they both start with the letter H. In eternity, there are two destinations. One you can spell quick, and one takes a couple of seconds longer. My recommendation would be take the couple of seconds longer. It's called heaven. H-E-A-V-E-N. Is that where you want to go? All you need to do is to hold to God's unchanging hand as it's recorded in His holy book, the Bible. Jesus trained 12 apostles. When He got ready to leave, He says, "Now you wait until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. It will guide you into all truth and bring everything that I've taught you to your remembrance." All we need to do to live a glorious life on planet Earth and forever, forever with God in glory land is to obey His word. He created everything. He owns everything and everybody. And He loves us so much that He's gone beyond human expectation and expressing His love. Such a wonderful place to live. We're not in a hurry to leave this place. And He tells us about a place that's even greater. We believe Him, but we don't want to go so quick from this place. Make your calling and election sure. Preacher, how did you say you can become a member of the Lord's church? It's simple. Hear God's word. You've done that this morning. Believe it with all of your heart. Now, you don't know whether you believed it or not. Repent of your sins. God is sorrowful for the things that are contrary to the will of God that you've done. Acknowledge openly and openly, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then be buried in water baptism for the remission of your sins. That's how everyone in the New Testament was saved, by the apostles' preaching. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. You say, well, I didn't come prepared to go in the water. Well, according to you, you didn't come prepared to be saved. No, no. We have the garments ready. We have the baptizer ready. We have the water ready. The only question mark is, you know what the question mark is? Only question mark is, are you ready to give your life to the Lord the way the Bible says? And live according to His instructions so that the day will come and your life is called from the grave because you're eternal. We're eternal beings. You will hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. Did you know you're going to live forever? You're going to live somewhere forever. Because if you don't live somewhere forever, God can't call you. Make your calling and election sure. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission, for forgiveness of every sin you've ever committed. If you're already in the body, but you have not been living according to His will, come on this morning. Renew your covenant. Rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, as several did before we came to this part of the worship. They ask the church, they were already in the body. They've sinned. They ask the church to pray to the Father for their forgiveness. The charge is, now I finish. It's your turn. Make your calling and election sure as we together stand and sing the song.